I'm a man of substance. Dorky chicks like you turn me on too. Oh
God, maybe you should close the door.
Hey, you know, I didn't write this movie.
Yeah?
That's all I'm saying.
Sure, I mean...
It wasn't me.
It wasn't you, you're correct.
We so are if not- I'm quoting it, it wasn't me.
You're indeed, you are indeed not quoting your own work. Well, we are quoting is today's topic, ladies and germs. Ladies and germs, what the fuck? Who says that?
That's a very 2000s cartoon.
A little bit
to say.
But no, this is the Spotter Pod. The Spotter Pod. Just like the Ohio State.
I did not realize we didn't fill this out. That's my bad.
No, that's fine. I was like, nah, what am good. I going to put in?
We're
like,
good. Keep going. Honestly, yeah. Well, I think we'll be fine. We'll just keep going.
This is Spotter Pod. This is the OFI. O-F-I.
The. Emphasize the the.
The OFI. I'm like fucking Biggie.
The OFI. Honestly, I'm kind of down with it.
Yeah.
I'm low-key down with it.
Okay.
Because, you know, out of all the bullshit nicknames I've said in our tenure, yes.
There's been a lot of them.
The OFI, I kind of fuck with it.
OFI from LLV, no.
Well, don't add to it, don't add to it. Never mind. Just leave it as is.
All right.
The Notorious OFI. Oh, just rip it off entirely.
That's not cool, I won't do that. He's dead, I'll leave him alone.
Oh, man. Meanwhile. Start pulling some wrestling impersonations of passed away wrestlers.
Okay.
No. That's not.
I mean, I do have my Dusty Rhodes, but apparently I don't know if it's very good. It's just me trying to
be Southern with a lisp.
Yeah, that's basically it. But no. Anyway,
welcome to the Spotter Pod, folks, where we are a multimedia discussion podcast. Last week we covered Sonic. Oh no, that's not right.
What?
Oh, that is right.
It is right. What do you thought?
My bad.
Thought it was a Dark Knight.
No. I just thought we did something else before. But last time we covered Sonic and the Black Knight for the Wii. I think it was a Wii exclusive.
Oh boy, yeah, it sure was. With those motion controls,
yes, sir. It could have been. Do you remember the PlayStation Move?
Yeah.
Yeah,
well. They all came out with the Kinect 2 with Xbox.
I forgot the. They can you tried. Imagine the Black Knight with Kinect?
Because it's like, well,
that sounds insane.
Wii motion controls weren't amazing, but I'm pretty sure those other platforms were worse. So I never heard anything good about them. So
that's true. Any thoughts on the Black Knight?
Yeah, take your copy. I don't want it in my house anymore.
That's fair.
Get it out of here.
We're gonna say you can leave this game in the past, folks.
Leave it in the storybook where it belongs, on a library shelf or something. I don't know.
There's a reason why there were only two games in that series. But any news that we should throw out there?
Any news? I don't know. The Chargers lost again. That's not cool.
Wow.
That kind of sucked. I mean, but anyway. I think maybe we nothing on the news part.
All right, so what are we covering?
We are covering the live action Scooby-Doo movie, which actually I found out there's been a couple.
Really? I know there's a second.
There's
one.
There's a sequel to this, but I saw a couple other ones when I was trying to look for it.
Really, there's more than one live action.
They didn't look good. Wow. But anyway, this is the one probably that you folks might have probably seen about. I think it's just called Scooby-Doo the movie.
I think it's just called Scooby-Doo.
It's just called... Oh, really?
Yeah. I think it's flat out called Scooby-Doo.
Well, you know what? We can... Yeah. Oh, wow. You're fucking right.
Year 2002?
2002.
Right.
Live action / computer animated. Oh, boy, did they.
Live and in living color.
Live
kind of, almost.
Living color. No. But... Yeah, no, we're covering this because it's kind of Halloween, kind of.
Yeah, you know, it might have been someone's fault, probably not Ophi's, that we missed our Halloween time, but hey, you know, whoever's fault that is, boo on them.
Boo earns, you know, I mean.
It's not like he asked for food.
It's not like this movie was very particularly scary anyway.
It was scary in the sense that...
Oh no, it's...
I lost time.
It's boring. No, the scariest thing a movie could be ever. It's fucking
scary. It's uninteresting.
A little bit. But, you know, before we dive in, I guess quick overview. Yeah, so it's like Scooby-Doo. It's like a classic Scooby-Doo setup, but They have the problems with the group.
The problems with the group. Problems I love it.
The group. The tag team dissension. The tag team breakup.
The mega powers explode.
WrestleMania. No, but then they come back together and learn teamwork, and that's your quick overview.
That's really the whole movie. They break up at the beginning of the movie because they have infighting and communication issues, and then they bring it around at the end.
Yep.
So that's about the movie. But hey, you know, not everything needs to be super complex.
Not everything
like
needs to be super
Breaking Bad, right? But unfortunately, this isn't one of those movies that was...
Well, things could be simple as long as they're executed well. And I mean...
And it's interesting.
I mean, I'm not even sure if... Maybe it's just like the Scooby-Doo formula, which, you know, it does still have... Like, it's such a long-running cartoon. Like, I don't know if
Can't just let some things die, I guess.
Oh, yeah, no, they're still fucking making more. I mean, they came out with the animated movie, like, last year, I think, Scoob.
Actually, I was mildly interested in watching that.
Me too, but I heard it was like, eh, it's like, whatever.
Oh, that's true.
But...
I remember I saw Scooby-Doo Cartoon Network animation, but, I don't know, the artwork was... I was not a fan of it, to be honest.
Okay, there's been so many, like, newer ones, I'm not... That could be... I think there's just... I just know the one where, like, Velma has a flower in her. There's one. That's the one I'm kind of... I don't know. Whatever. My favorite was always when they're like puppies or when Scooby
Oh,
was a
I remember
puppy.
That. I remember that. Yeah, that was, a pup named Scooby. Oh, dude. That was actually pretty good.
I like that one.
Yeah,
that
no, that's
that was
that
my
show was pretty
one.
Good, actually.
But anyway. Anyway, yeah, it's Scooby-Doo. It's... I guess it tries to be a bit more clever than your average Scooby-Doo.
Sorry to cut you off, but here's a pitch, movie pitch idea. Instead of making the cast younger, let's just make them super old.
Let's make them geriatric.
Yeah,
Scooby's dead.
he's still a dog. Oh, wait.
That's just sad.
The geriatric Scooby-Doo mystery.
No. Everyone's just reminiscing about, oh, man.
Remember when Scoob was alive? Dude, old Scoob.
Do your fucking Shaggy impression.
Oh, boy, Scoob. We used to have... Remember when we used to get high and eat those dog treats? I remember Scoob as I rub your ashes.
Is that too much? That's something. I don't know. I don't know if it's too much. I don't know where it is. But anyway.
Back to our outline.
Because there's no useful information. Who cares? About
All right. Themes and tones, we already
themes
said.
Themes and tones? It's friendship.
Shonen Jump. Dude, there's a new My Hero movie. We should watch it.
Oh, is that the one you told me about? Or is there another new one?
No, it's like a third one.
Okay. Yeah, damn. Yeah. Thank you. They're going.
Yeah. Yeah, they are. Deku has a cool black man mirror.
Oh, I'm
super
so,
getting derailed.
I'm so behind on My Hero too. Holy crap.
Yeah, I feel that. Thankfully, the movies... I feel, at least in my experience, the past two movies had no bearing on the main story.
Well, that's good.
So who gives a fuck? Like, they're supposed to be canon, but it's like, oh, it's mentioned as a line during the series.
I think Melissa, I think that's her name, the blonde girl.
Yes, exactly. What?
Or, I thought she...
I mean, she might have.
For like a panel, that's what
I'm
remembering.
Yeah, in the comic.
Yeah, doesn't really matter that much. But anyway, yeah, themes and tones, it's about togetherness, it's about...
The importance of working as a team,
being Scooby-Doo.
Communicating as a team.
Sure.
Just running through the characters and their quick arcs really quick.
Sure.
Velma had unnoticed potential as far as Fred always stole the spotlight.
Yeah.
And took credit for her plans. Because Fred was a model boy.
He was the leader.
Yeah, he was the leader.
He's like the Donatello, he's the Leonardo.
Leonardo. They both wear blue. I just realized that. Yeah. So Velma and then Michelangelo and Velma are not the same.
No, that'd be Donatello is Velma, and then Raph. There's not really a Raph.
Scooby Doo is Raph.
Yeah, because like Mikey could be like either.
He's
Shaggy,
definitely Shaggy.
And then
Scooby.
Then Daphne has to be Raphael, I guess.
I mean, in this movie, maybe because she becomes a karate master. But we're getting ahead of ourselves, so. Velma finally gets her chance in the spotlight and earns the credit that she deserves, fairly enough, because she comes up with a lot of the plans, even though both plans that were executed in the movie just end up botching due to mystery and shenanigans, but they were pretty well thought out plans. And then Fred learned how to just because you're the leader doesn't mean you need to hog all the glory and learn how to share.
Yeah.
Daphne, I thought hers was actually somewhat endearing as far as her storyline, because hers was, oh, I'm useless and I get kidnapped, I'm just good for bait. So they made her a karate master somehow.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, fuck it, reasons, right? But yeah, she ends up defending herself and beating up a guy that looked like a pro wrestler, that I wanted to be a pro wrestler.
Was you tried actually, to will into existence.
Yeah, but and he was dressed like a pro wrestler too, but he was actually a martial artist, which...
Real martial, in all honesty.
I was a little disappointed. I was like,
he would have been way more interesting.
Because like, he was legit doing all the good wrestling moves.
What if this was like the genesis of someone big today? That'd be
cool. Yeah, I was legit going to look up those matches and...
From Scooby-Doo.
Yeah, man, legit. But, you know, my crust dreams aside. And then there's... And sorry, I know I'm just monologuing here, but I figure, like...
I didn't write shit.
Yeah, these are really quick character arcs, too. Shaggy, well... Then, obviously, Shaggy is the most endearing of the bunch. Shaggy and Scoob, but they always put over the idea that friends don't quit. I think that's the main theme.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Yeah, that's the main theme that they
friends
were...
Friends don't quit each other, and they don't quit on the mystery.
Is that right?
Something like that.
Well, it's something of that essence, maybe paraphrasing there, but...
Sure.
That's the main theme of the movie, and Shaggy portrays that in the sense that he never gave up on the team working together, even when they awkwardly met up at the airport, or when they were dysfunctional at the island, or right before they were about to die. When almost killed by Scrappy Doo, who was the antagonist.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no. I think that's one of the things I actually liked about this movie. Because Scrappy Doo kind of had grown the reputation as like an annoying little piece of shit that like, is like, why is he here? What purpose does he serve? Like, I'm guessing, like being called a Scrappy Doo, like, that's like an archetype. Of like in fiction now.
Is people, it? I didn't even know that.
It's like have you ever been on TV Tropes?
No, I've not. Is okay. That a YouTube channel or something?
No, it's like a website where basically people kind of categorize different like tropes and archetypes and stuff. And
yeah.
At least this one I'm more of like Scrappy Doo's base. It's like the character, like, yeah, just a character that's kind of shoved in there that's really annoying that no one really likes.
Wow. And
so I think making him the villain was actually kind of
smart.
Yeah, because it's like realization, like self-realization.
Though. It was meta. It was meta. And I could appreciate meta when it's executed well.
Yeah, this character that way.
Because literally his role in the movie was that he was an annoying character that got written off just to come back as a big villain to go against the main theme of friends.
He was Mr. Bean all along.
Man, I forgot Mr. Bean was in this movie.
Yeah, he's not really doing a lot. He's just kind of like,
hey, brother, it was a paycheck. That's what he's doing.
Yeah, it's not. Yeah, I'm not saying he shouldn't have taken the movie, but he didn't steal the show. You know.
Well, who stole the show? Was it Scooby-Doo CGI?
We'll get to that when we get to the facts, probably. But
anything? Any themes that you think I might have missed there?
Any themes?
I think I kind of got most of it.
Because I was thinking, like, I remember when calling back to, okay, why the college students, right? They're coming to the island, doing all the partying and stuff, and they're leaving quote-unquote proper. And I thought maybe it would play into that, but I don't know if there's a good motivation for why Scrappy Doo is doing that.
Yeah, I think he was just having them possessed by demons. So then when it was time for him to, like, take over the world, there'd be like all these college kids
that are like obedient. Yeah. I guess so. I thought
not obedient, but like they would summon their monsters. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
actually, you know, now that you mention that, I feel like that's a common occurrence in Scooby-Doo is just who's behind the mask. But instead of like, you know, people masquerading as monsters, it was monsters masquerading as people.
Okay.
So I actually, you know, that's why I love doing this podcast, man. It's a little that discussion, Socratic seminar.
I respect this movie 0.1% more.
Hey, you know what? But
like I said, like I thought it was gonna maybe go deeper in like social commentary about like the little video we saw was kind of entertaining with the like, oh, this is how you shouldn't react. It's like, oh, someone spills water on you, I'm gonna kill you.
I will grind your bones into dust. Is literally what they say.
Yeah, and I thought, ooh, maybe there's going to be some social commentary. Not really. Yeah. Scrappy just wants Monstars.
Monstars to control. For revenge. He was so mad about being kicked out by Mystery Inc. He wanted to take over the world.
See, but actually, you know, I think about it more.
And maybe, destroy Mystery Inc.
Maybe you could argue that Scrappy-Doo's villainy is a result of them quitting on him.
Well, they did quit on him.
Yeah, I know.
Because he peed on Daphne.
And humped her
a bunch of times.
That's kind of weird, yeah.
And he had a pituitary gland. I thought it was really interesting how they explained why he's always small. He's a fucking
puppy, yeah.
Yeah, it's a pituitary gland issue.
Yeah, that just kind of adds to his...
puppy power!
Oh, boy. All right.
Now I'm going to pee on you.
Anyway, notable moments. Scrappy-Doo peeing on Daphne. the CGI. Oh, yeah. It's bad, but yeah.
Wait, hold up. Before we go any further, tonally speaking,
tones. It's a Scooby-Doo movie. It's still pretty light. It doesn't get super dark, I guess.
No, I would say they try to make their heartfelt moments endearing and such and sincere. And they try, but honestly, maybe it's because I'm too old or... I'm not within the time of 2002 anymore, but I just never could.
Not 2002 anymore, yeah, right?
I couldn't just feel that. Like, I know they were trying to be sincere when it was like Shaggy and then Scooby-Doo about to be sacrificed, but I don't know. Like, they played the music and they had the acting, and then Scooby's horrid CGI face was trying to look sad.
Yeah, because I think it's like they don't really. It just assumes like you the audience knows, yeah, Scooby and Shaggy are best friends, right?
Yeah.
They don't really show it, and I guess they do test that relationship, right, with Mary Jane, like, oh no, Scooby.
Of course, that's a girl named Mary Jane.
Of course, of course it is. So I guess it's supposed to be like, yeah, the moment of Shaggy now believes Scooby. But yeah, no, I didn't really care much for anything in here. Yeah, it's one of these movies where I think this is going to be a solid like 5 out of 10 or like a 0. Like, it's just
I know what you're saying. And the scale of 5 to -5.
But
5 being something you enjoyed in sincerely, and -5 being something you enjoyed ironically.
Or it's just kind of hard for me to like. It's just so zero
is just something that didn't do it for you.
It's just so. Painfully average, which is probably the worst part you could be for anything. Because
it wasn't arousing or weird enough for you to take your pants off.
Oh God. Okay. So yeah, tonally, it's still a fairly lighthearted Scooby-Doo movie.
Lighthearted kids movie. That's for sure.
And I guess it's like, that's the monsters are real. Oh, that's another thing. Like, there's magic now. Because Scooby-Doo has always been planted on. Dudes in costumes. There are
movies where they're like, oh, the monstrosities are legitimate.
I know, but they don't really. They didn't explain. Whatever.
They explain, like, no. I guess no one really questioned why magic exists.
Why is Scrappy-Doo in a super hyper realistic robot suit? Where'd he get the. Whatever.
That's a good question. Oh, man. You're throwing out the.
I don't care. I don't care. But I'm just pointing him out. It's like, why? Where does he get that? Where does he get the ancient? Where does he learn about the ancient ritual? Why does this exist? Where do we get the soul pool? I don't know.
Yep.
Wow.
All right. I think we already covered characters and their arcs, theme, and tone all in one bunch. So let's get into these notable moments.
Notable moments.
Any plot hole questions for me? The only thing really was they had a scene with the Coast Guard. When they went to call for help, and the scene implied that the Coast Guard was evil, and in Scrappy-Doo previously, I forgot the name of Scrappy-Doo's Mr. Bean's character.
I don't care.
Whatever. They were apparently in Scrappy-Doo's pocket, but they still rescue them anyway, and that plot line just pays off to nowhere. So it just raises the question, what was the purpose of that scene, and how did Scrappy maybe... Take control of the Coast Guard.
Maybe he just took control of the Coast Guard that was on that time, and then another shift came in that wasn't under control.
Fantastic.
There you go. Good job. I did it.
Yep.
Plot hole filled in.
filled it in with freaking cheese puffs and Play-Doh.
Hey, a hole's a hole.
Title of your sex tape.
Yes.
I've been watching a lot of Brooklyn Nine-Nine. That show's good.
I thought you were going to say
I've been watching a lot of sex tapes.
I hope not.
I'm just studying them all.
I'm trying to learn some new holds and facial expressions.
Doesn't Hogan got one? He does, right?
Yeah, I haven't watched it, and I'd like to leave it like that. Tune in next time, folks, for when we watch. Oh, no.
I mean, I did learn today that Sylvester Stallone's... Sylvester Stallone, the great Sylvester, was a first film role, was apparently in a softcore porno, so, yeah, cool. That they renamed Italian Stallion. It was called something else. But then they're like, oh shit, he became a big movie star quick. We gotta rename it. Which, to be fair, it's pretty good. I mean, that sounds like a porn
name. Hey, you gotta get paid, bro.
That sounds like a porn name.
Gotta get paid, brother.
Hey, yeah, he got paid a cool 200. You know.
So. Hey, you know what? I'd kill for a fucking 200 right now. You just got that 200 has different meanings depending on where someone is in their life.
Oh yeah, I know. Yeah. Anyway, yeah. Another notable moments. Oh, I think there was like a there's a shot of Fred reading his own book. Early like that.
Yeah.
No, there's like decent stuff here. Occasionally.
Some occasional comedic gems.
You know, like when they fucking. What was the line when they? And then the beginning when Scooby and Shaggy are at the beach and they get asked help and they're like, ooh, we don't do something except when it's hydrocolonic. I just wrote hydrocolonic.
No, I wrote that down too. What the fuck?
I forgot the context of the moment.
No, they Shaggy just mentions that we can't go anywhere hydrocolonic. So.
Which does mean have something to do with hydro meaning water and colonic meaning colon.
So I just don't understand.
Something about flushing their colons.
Okay.
Which
I mean, that's a thing, right? To clean out people's fucking ass.
I think that's what an enema is. So Jesus. you can.
Oh God,
you gotta keep it clean, you know.
Oh, actually, I had some more questions to ask.
Yeah, go for it.
Why didn't Daphne ask the voodoo man why the castle was forbidden in the first place?
I don't know. That whole conversation was just a big like
headache.
She was just like confusing herself and him and everyone.
You know, like it seems unbelievable, but I could see. I think I've seen conversations go like that in real life. Why didn't Shaggy just let everybody out of the bowl just to ruin the plan? I mean, maybe you could argue it's the setup for the bigger plan later, and they didn't want to interfere, but still, at least an idea. Damn. And then, how did Velma notify Shaggy to let the other members of Mystery Inc. out? There wasn't really a communication of the plan. He just pulled her out and then sent her on her way.
It was, Stars told her. Or, yeah, sure.
When did Fred become a Chinese dart rope master? Was that in his book?
I forgot if it was played for, like, he looked skilled with it, or he was just swinging it around and he got lucky.
No, it was legitimate, like, he was skilled with it. Like, he was making intentional, attacks. Shaggy got lucky and beat up the buff guy. But Fred became a martial arts master.
Damn.
Chinese dart rope master.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay, well, let's get into some notable moments I want to point out.
Yeah.
I like the Scooby-Doo, and please feel free to comment, whatever.
Sure.
But I like the Scooby-Doo intro replacing the Warner Brothers tag at the beginning. Velma is held upside down at one point in the movie.
Oh, yeah.
And her skirt defied physics. And I know it's a kid's movie, and honestly, it's probably better they didn't show anything, but it just looks so strange.
Yeah, but, like, she also gets, like she reveals a little bit of cleavage. She does get a
booby suit.
Yeah. She does get a bit more a revealing suit later on, so
this is true.
But, you know, like, yeah, you probably shouldn't be going full panty shot, but,
At least, like, her holding her skirt. Yeah. Like, not showing anything, but, like... Doesn't physics exist?
Just think about little. Yeah, that would have been nice, yeah.
How did Daphne become a black belt in 2 years? What type of fucking internet karate bullshit is this? They referenced Sizzler.
Oh, wow. Yeah, they did.
Yeah, I can't even imagine.
Wow, that's ancient now.
And they really did the 2000s move of having disgusting noises, so they had a fart off
between
Shaggy and Scooby.
It's just like Phantom Menace with the Jar Jar.
Dude, that fart off? I think it was like a whole 2 minutes.
That was painful. That was probably... Yeah, no, I don't know if I really ever found farts funny. Like, honestly, like, real talk, like, as a kid, I don't know.
I feel like if it's at an inopportune time, there's probably a good laugh out of it.
I remember I was watching, like, Family Guy as a kid, and yes. I loved it. Mm-hmm. I've gone back. Oh, my God. It is so...
gratuitous.
it's just like all the jokes are references or just extreme violence.
Even the
or
old
gross
stuff?
Out. Yeah.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
I'm like, wow, what the hell was I doing watching this crap? Whoa.
They have, obviously, aside from the character of Mary Jane, Shaggy's love interest, they have another possible pothead reference when there's like smoke coming out.
I thought you were going to talk about Velma's love interest, who doesn't even have a name.
Oh, yeah. What was that fucker's name?
He was just interested in her. That's something.
But yeah, no, when they first broke up Mystery Inc., that is, they had a shot of smoke coming out of the Mystery Inc.
Yeah, and you think, uh-oh, there's smoke, they're hotboxing in the van.
And then they cut to them barbecuing.
Yeah.
But like, you know, maybe I'm overstepping here, but then you cut to the character of Mary Jane. And then that's when Shaggy says, oh, I really love Mary Jane.
I love that name.
Yes.
I don't know why. I can't put my finger on it. Can't put my blunt on it.
can't put my blunt on it.
Whatever.
Something that this movie did a lot and I didn't really like is they forced these romances.
Yeah, it's like, wow, everyone's got to... Yeah, I actually hate that too.
Everybody's got to get somebody.
It's like, that's so like fake feeling. Come on, man.
Like, Velma, like Ophie mentioned earlier, had to hit up whatever fuck his name was. Honestly, not that important. Then Shaggy had to hit up the good old Kush. You know, Mary Jane. And then, you know, they always have the, in Scooby-Doo, they always have the running story of Fred and Daphne. And maybe that's how people are meant to, like, accept that chemistry, that romance. But honestly, I don't think there's really any on-screen.
Yeah, they didn't build up anything in the movie at all.
Yeah.
Like, between the two of them.
But honestly, they still ended up together at the end.
I guess, because they kissed. Yeah, sure. It's weird. Weird stuff.
They had a callback to the hands at the airport. When they put their hands in do a team break. Sure. You know, I do like foreshadowing in movies. Like, I think it's a nice technique, because it really makes sure that the audience is paying attention. But if the audience isn't too interested in it, doesn't matter.
Well, I mean, I feel like that's pretty blatant, though, with the hand thing. I'm like, oh, look, remember this. Because it could go either way. It could go like, ooh, is this like a subtle little hint to reward
viewers? I guess that one wasn't subtle, viewers, but...
Or, hey, look, they're doing the thing.
Yeah, it's more of that. It's more of that. No, but still, I appreciate it. Nobody's ever given me a stuffed, dismembered head before. You don't remember that? Shaggy won the crane game, and it was a dismembered head. And he gifted it to Mary Jane.
I think that one was... Because, like, that dialogue, like, no one would... Because she says it like it's so obvious. It's like, wow. Like, very sincerely, even though the line itself is kind of stupid. But, you know, it was okay.
Oh, and actually, one last thing I wanted to point out, which I thought was good directing, was they made a joke of, like, tropes or cliches in horror movies at that time, or at least of Scooby-Doo horror at that time. And they said, oh, there's going to be a knight, someone hiding in the knight armor, and then they follow you around and such when Shaggy's complaining about, you know, not going into the forbidden castle. And then went to evade the bad guys, Shaggy and the gang have to hide in a suit, suits of armor. So I actually thought that was really clever.
Yeah, that's fair.
That was really clever.
Sure. You become, when you fight against monsters, you
I thought it was one. Oh, no, what is it?
You stare in the abyss?
No.
Or do you want to go for the Dark Knight quote?
Go ahead.
You either die a hero or live long enough to see yourself become the villain.
There you go.
Let's fucking throw it, like.
What's the other bullshit you would say?
What?
Duality
of man. Yeah.
That's still my favorite fucking intro. No, your favorite description is duality of man.
Duality of man.
Yeah, of all time, greatest of all time.
Oh jeez. Well, thank you, but. Anyway, what I'm not gonna think is we're gonna go to key directing, which I guess you mentioned something like. Oh, you just said...
No, I think that is... There's signs of directing techniques, right? Like I mentioned with the night joke, like... There's signs of breadcrumbing, right? Yeah. But then, you know, this is a very 2000s movie, so it was littered with things like fart jokes. Mm-hmm. Oh, God, the fucking fart off. And then burp jokes. Literally at the end of the movie, you know. just a lot of the slapstick 2000s humor that I'm not really into.
Yeah. Yeah, no, not at all.
And I'm not saying that stuff is impossible to find enjoyable, but it's just so much in this movie that I'm not sure if I appreciate it.
Yeah, I wonder, like, a lot of the appeal of Scooby-Doo is just, like, watching how much, like, Scooby and Shaggy shit their pants. That scary thing.
Yeah. And, you know, like, if you think about the, what's it called? Oh, man. The original cartoon.
Oh, yeah, sure.
For what time it came out of. Like, that made sense, because that's, like, Looney Tunes, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's what's popular around the time. It's just, some things are better left where they were found.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe.
And, you know, interesting thing is the screenplay was written by James Gunn, who I'm a big fan of because I love the Guardians of the Galaxy series, but...
Yeah, and I think maybe that shows in some of the dialogue. Like we said, like a lot of the clever stuff I feel was through the writing, right?
Yeah.
Like the Mary Jane thing.
That's true. You know, I guess there are those hints. I guess when you normally have these type of kids movies, you know, you have the initial allure to get the kids in this situation, Scooby-Doo, right? But, you know, those kids don't get to the movie theater by themselves, right? You got to have adults to pay for their tickets and take them there. So you got to have enough, like, I guess, overarching adult content to make it interesting.
No, that's fair.
I'm not sure if this movie did it for me.
Yeah, no. I feel like he could have done maybe more with the team angst with each other, right? Which I guess that was a part of the movie, but it just kind of comes off as like petty, like, oh, you don't listen to me, Fred. Oh, no one. Yeah, maybe if you did like a deeper, like going deeper into their breakup and like, you know, why addressing, which I guess like they attempted, you know, like Fred, like the opening quote, like Fred is trying to to appeal to, but like he's an idiot. So it comes off as
being a jackass,
being a stupid jackass idiot.
Yeah.
Which I guess is appropriate for the character.
Yeah.
You can't say it's not.
I mean, if anything, I feel like they did try to stick to these characters and what they're known for. And then, somewhat flush him out. It's just, it didn't do it for me. And oh my god, like, let's get into the FX. That's Scooby-Doo CGI.
Scooby-Doo, I'll take Jar Jar over Scooby-Doo, right?
Really?
No. Yeah, I'll take...
They're both pretty bad. I don't know if I could pick one over the other.
If we're going for just the quality of effect, if we're going for the overall character package, I have to think, but I probably would lean to Scooby then, if we go that route. But if we're talking strictly the CGI effect, I mean, I'm sure the budget for Star Wars was a lot more.
Yeah, you don't say.
But yeah, no, they don't look great. Like, pretty much all the CGI effects look bad. The monsters effects.
Oh, God, the monsters.
The
Scrappy.
Weird dog. Scrappy.
Scrappy on steroids. Yeah, because
they're just unpleasant. It's like, it just doesn't look aesthetically pleasing. It's just, what am I looking at?
But you know, it was 2000s, like, it was like the infancy of CGI technology, right? It wasn't like what it was today. I don't know if infancy is the right word, but wasn't what it is.
It wasn't what it is today, but then I think of something like, I'm pretty sure Monsters, Inc. came out early 2000, like 2002. And I know that's
but it wasn't like live action CGI, you know.
Yeah, but also I think like if you just go for like design wise, I don't know. I'm not sure how you make. I don't know. I won't look it up. I don't know. I'm not sure how you make live action Scooby-Doo CGI appealing. I don't know. That's probably why that do you see that much anymore? Live action plus CGI character. I mean, I know people use CGI like effects.
Yeah, I mean, you see that shit all the time in like Marvel movies.
You know, that's fair. I guess I don't watch a lot of
But I mean those weren't really made in the early 2000s.
those look a bit better.
Maybe just a tad. Did you have any thoughts on the music? Nothing really stood out to me.
It's like, yeah,
why did
the early
2000s dance scene? they had an actual dance sequence. Remember when they were about to sacrifice Scooby? I thought it was actually appropriate for the mood because it did seem ominous as this multicolored dancing freaks could be. And it was kind of cool when they had the moment of them pointing at Velma and Fred. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
And then Velma and Fred try to keep dancing. Actually, yeah, that was really good.
That was kind of, that was funny.
Yeah. I think that was a really nicely set up moment. But no, I don't think track wise there's really anything.
I just remember like early 2000s rock music, which you know, that's
that sounds
mood.
About right.
That's a mood. Yeah. Hey, you know, I like a lot of that stuff. I unironically love All Star, you know?
Oh, really? That's cool.
Like, not even because it was in Trek or Digimon. Like, I just think it's a... I mean, that's all I know about it. That, I mean, it doesn't hurt, but...
So I'm going to be watching Shrek.
We could.
Tomorrow!
Oh, let's watch it right now.
Jesus.
But, yeah, no, I don't really have anything to say about the movie. Or the music. Or the movie, honestly. Yeah, I guess we could roll into closing thoughts. Yeah, it's just so painfully average. Like, I think it tries to do like Scooby-Doo, but try to put a new fresh coat, or, you know, try to a new perspective. I think that's the thing I love about the SpongeBob musical, right? You take a kid-friendly concept, a kid-friendly character, and then you show a complete different side of SpongeBob. You get to see the painful, like, despair and unsuredness of himself. You know, where he's doubting.
Yeah, they get to explore like him being a fry cook for such a long time.
That you explore Patrick's insecurities about not being listened to because he's just the dumb character. You see Squidward just go full on like coping with depression.
With a killer
Yeah, you see Sandy dealing with racism.
Wait, is that how our story went? I don't even remember that.
They literally like, oh, she's a, we can't trust her because she's a land, she's not even from here. She's a
land dweller.
Oh, God. But in here, we just kind of get the same version that you get on the, in the cartoon.
But a little more raunchy.
A little more raunchy. And there's like a wrinkle of, oh, Mr. Ink is broken up. And they're just going to come up together. They're going to, whatever. There's no... Yeah, it's a big, like, don't bother. It's not good enough to be generally good, and it's not so bad where I can find enjoyment in laughing at how bad it is. It's just a meh.
I don't think I could say anymore. I think there are a fair amount of plot holes, but I think there was, like, as far as pacing and general direction, the movie is able to do that, but like Gofie was saying, there's nothing here so substantial to keep me interested for the entire watch time, which is unfortunate.
Yep. Yep, yep, yep.
But to end on a more dour note, hey, we're not a weekly podcast, but we damn sure pretend to be. Catch you on the next one.
See ya.